Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
It is so exciting for me to be back with you guys again. I got the call from your pastor asking if I could come over and fill in for him this Sunday, and that's always a great joy for me. And I've been following a little bit the series Crossing Over. It's been so good. And I said, do you want me to continue in that series since you're in the middle of it? He said, that'd be great. I've got many of the messages already planned out and set down. He said, but I don't have anything from Joshua chapter 24. Would you look at Joshua chapter 24? And I went, sure. I mean, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, is Joshua 24. We can do that. And then I spent some time this week in it, and I went, man, I know why he left town and had me preach this. Because this is one of those in-your-face messages. This is not one of the warm, fuzzy messages. This one is, oh, if you feel convicted by the message today, then welcome to my world this week, okay? Because it has convicted me. But we come to a time in the life of the people of God when they've traveled a long ways. They've had many adventures. They've seen God move. They've been challenged. They've known sorrow and loss, and they've known victory and gain. They've had success. They've had failure. And Joshua gathers the people of God together, and it begins in Joshua chapter 24, reading verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Now understand, they had just finished dividing up the land, the promised land that God brought them into. They had spent years out on the desert learning about God, finally beginning to trust him, brought over into the promised land, and you've been studying all the battles they went through and all the life lessons they've learned. And now in this chapter, they're dividing up the land and they're about to begin, for the first time in the life of most all of these people, a place where they're no longer nomadic desert dwellers. They're moving to a brand new stage in the life of the nation and in the life of their families. Joshua calls them together before God. It wasn't just a get-together, it was church. And he opens with about 12 verses of saying, remember God. And I want to take a moment and read through verses 2 through 13. Follow along with me. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in the midst. And afterwards I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. You came to the sea, and Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots, with horsemen, to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and he summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, the Hittite, and the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, not by your sword or your bow. And I gave you a land on which you had not labored, cities which you had not built. You have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Joshua says, we are going to take some time and we're going to remember the facts about your past. Because, as we all know, those who cannot remember the past are doomed to what? To repeat it. Now, Joshua didn't come up with that slogan, but he could have. Because they had just spent many extra years in the desert. Because they came up to the edge of the promised land at one time, and they forgot about the God who had delivered them, who had been their support and their strength, and all they could see was giants in the land. So as they begin this next crossing over into a different part of the life of the children of Israel, Joshua says, we're going to stop and remember that we didn't come here by our own works, our own design. We're going to remember what God did. That's a good thing to do. You make better decisions when you do that. I mean, just in our own world, guys, how many of you would admit that your best decisions have sometime been born out of learning from your worst decisions? Anybody want to share a testimony? You don't have to do that. Usually some of our best decisions came from the fact that at some time in our past we made some really bad decisions and we remembered and we learned from them. When you come to a place of crossing over, a place of moving forward to a new place in life, there is a need to remember the facts about your past so that you won't just keep circling in the desert. Joshua says, we're going to remember about who God was. It was Him who brought us here, not ourselves. We were slaves before. We were held captive. And even when God brought the plagues and delivered us from then, even then we were about to go back into captivity and He delivered us again. And then we were about to starve to death and He brought down manna. And then we were about to die of thirst and He opened water out of the side of a mountain. And these people came against us and He delivered us and He guided us. And our shoes did not wear out and our clothes did not wear out. And God has always been our resource and our strength, and He is faithful. And at one time they came to the edge of the Jordan and they forgot how faithful God was, and all they saw were giants and they never moved forward. So a whole new generation has to come into existence that will remember God. One of your greatest sources of courage in your life is to remember your past in the light of God. Perhaps today you need those words of encouragement. Perhaps today you need to take a moment and remember the God of your past. I left a space in your notes there for you to write down personal memories. I encourage you to do that. Do it now. It won't even offend me, okay? But do it later. Or gather with your family and begin to make a list of how God has been faithful in your past. You'll have a good day when you do that. Last night I was at the hotel and I was just killing some time, flipping through the computer, and I noticed a posting from my daughter-in-law from 9 years ago. She said, 9 years ago, our little baby was born, my first granddaughter. She turned 9 this week. The testimony from my daughter-in-law reminded me of the greatness of God, because you see, my first granddaughter was given a 90% chance that she would not live past birth. Did you hear we celebrated her 9th birthday this past week? Yeah. and she's healthy and strong and beautiful. And every time I see her, I'm reminded that as hard as things might be right now, God has been faithful. He is faithful. He will be faithful. Amen. And I am encouraged by that. You need to remember specific times that God provided, crises he saw you through, doors he opened when it seemed like there were no doors out there. Remember how your life was led by God out of a land of darkness. Remember the days when your future seemed uncertain. And remember what God has done since then. Remember how he has brought you to where you are today. Remember the God of your past. Let's continue on in Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, after you've remembered all of this, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, you need to make a decision here. You know what God has done for you. Now, serve him in sincerity and in truth. How important are those two things in your life? Sincerity and truth. Do you love to be around insincere people? Do you love to be around people who don't deal with anything that is truthful? They're just living in their own little fake world. Ever met an insincere person? Ever been an insincere person? Being insincere, has that ever led to anything good? Very simply, when he says, serve the Lord with sincerity, he's saying, get real about your commitment to God. Sincerity is important. When that ball player comes up to the plate, knocks the dirt off of his cleats and steps into the box, and that guy is fixing to throw a fastball by him, how important is that batter's sincerity to the game at that point? How important is it that with all of his heart, he is ready to go at this game? In your job, how important is it to have people around you who are committed to it in their heart? They're sincere about it, or they're just showing up? Does it make a difference? How about in relationships? Is sincerity and truthfulness important in relationships? I mean, would you enter into a relationship where the other person were to say to you, no, I love you. Sincerely, with all my heart, I love you. I want to have you in my life. Oh, every evening I want to come home to you. I want to spend the night with you. I want to stay with you. Friday afternoons, I've got a previous lover that I'm going to hang on to. But all the rest of the time, my heart's yours. How many of you would go, good enough? No, you wouldn't. Because when he says he's insincere, he's not speaking truth. Is insincerity okay by you? No. That's why in verse 15, Joshua says, if it is disagreeable to you, then you've got a choice to make. In other words, to you, I want to have you in my life as my spouse, but I'm not sure that I can agree with your limited small-mindedness that says I can't continue to see others also. I'm not sure I agree about that. To which you should say, then you need to make a choice. Sometimes people turn away from being sincere about their commitment to God because they just don't really agree with it. It just doesn't sit right in them. They desire to hold on with one hand things of the old and try to take God's hand with the other. An idol, you know what an idol is? An idol is anyone or anything that shows your insincerity in your relationship to God. Joshua gets it right out there. He says, choose today. This is the time of decision. Let's continue on, verse 19, 20. Joshua said to the people, "You will not be able to serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins." It's amazing. He says, "Choose you this day," but you can't actually do it. That's what it sounds like he's saying. Let's continue on here. Verse 20, "If you forsake the Lord and you serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good for you." Joshua is speaking of being sincere. He said, "You would not put up with insincerity, and neither will God." Let me ask you, the greatest command in Scripture, the summation of all Scripture from Genesis to maps, is thou shalt love the Lord thy God when it's convenient, right? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God as much as you love the bars. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God as much as you love your own secret sins. No, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. It's an issue of sincerity of your heart. He doesn't say it's easy. He says it's commitment of your heart. You cannot continue to move forward if you're occasionally still going back to live in the desert in the previous life. When you come to the next phase in your life, there are always choices that must be made. And some things that over the years have become commonplace and you've gotten used to and it's just comfortable to you have to be left in the past. The amazing thing is the people of God chose well. They said, "We will serve God." Verse 22, "And Joshua said to the people, 'You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen for yourself the Lord to serve him.' And they said, 'We are witnesses.' Now, therefore, put away the foreign gods which are in your midst." Pause right here in the middle of this verse. There's this important side note here that I want to spend just a moment with. During the time that God had delivered the people out of Egypt, and then had taken them out in the desert and spent all this time in the desert taking care of them, feeding them, clothing them, giving them victory. During all this time, apparently, they were still lugging around some false idols from Egypt. All this time, they'd been carrying around. Were they following God? They were. Were they struggling a lot? Yes, they were. But even as God brought the water out of the rock and delivered them from their enemies, they still had these things from their past that, you know, they had a spot in their life. They sat at a certain place. And Joshua says, if you're going to go to the next place now in what God has planned for you, it's time to get rid of those idols. Now, therefore, put away the foreign gods which are in your midst and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Verse 24, and the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice. Here's their commitment. We will serve God, and we will obey his commands. This is what happens when your heart goes to the next level of sincerity in following God. You want to serve and be obedient, not because it's been pounded into, but because you have made the choice. But if this seems disagreeable to you, Joshua doesn't twist their arm. He doesn't get down and plead with them. He says, here's the facts. This is who God is. And this is where he's wanting to take you. But you must do away with the idols. And if it seems disagreeable with you, then you need to make a choice. Continuing in verse 25 through 28. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. He made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance. Joshua has brought them through, remembering how God has brought you to where you are now, and God is now moving you in the next stage, but you need to go to the next place in your relationship with God. And they say, we want to go there. And he says, then it's important that we memorialize this commitment. There is something really good and right and strong about memorializing commitments. You already know that. Many of you are wearing a ring on a specific finger on your hand to memorialize a commitment. So let me ask you, is that ring important? Turn to your spouse and say, yes, it is, okay? Because otherwise you're in trouble, all right? I can guarantee you they think it's important. So, to help you continue to move forward, to help you to remember your commitments, it's important to memorialize it. In Scripture, there are so many times in the history of the Israelites that God had them cross the river and had held the water upstream, and he said, take these big stones out and stack them up over here so that every time you pass by and you see those stones when you're older, when the years have gone by, and when you forget how great God has been, you will see those stones and you will be brought back to the time that God parted the waters and you went through. And when your kids say, what's that pile of rocks over there, Dad? You can say, let me tell you about our God. It is important to memorialize big decisions, big movings in your life. In each person's life, there comes a number of times that it's time to turn the page. Especially for those who are following God. You have a history with God, battles fought, victories, losses, sorrows, joys, provisions provided, mountaintops, valleys, and now it's time to look on what is ahead. They had lived in the desert all of their life, and now he's about to take them to a place to where they were not fighting the battles, but they were actually moving and living in homes and building a future in a whole different way. Perhaps God has given you a new horizon. And as you consider the next step, the uncertainties and the unfamiliarities, remember the God of your past, and it will give you strength. Move forward with all your heart, because if you're not sincere about it, you'll miss it. You'll never accomplish anything or know the joys of life without commitment and sincerity. Maybe it's time to let go of some of those idols that you've been carrying around on your walk with God. We all have them. Choose you this day because it is your choice. But until you let go of them, you can't move forward to the next step. And if it's disagreeable for you, far be it from me to try to convince you. It is between you and God. Maybe you need to do as the Israelites did and make the commitment, I will serve and obey God. Because the deeper you grow in a relationship, the more willing you are to do those things, to lay down your life in service and obedience to Him and to those who you love. Set up a monument. Make it public in churches like the one you're in today. We have monuments to remember the commitments. We have this thing called baptism, which you're probably familiar with. We get baptized for a number of reasons. Number one is Jesus, the one that we're following, commanded us to be baptized. And if that's not enough, He Himself was baptized to set an example for us. But it is also a ceremony, a building, a setting of the rock that is a point where you said, I chose. Some of you may need to make that decision. You've thought about it for quite a while, but you go, you know, I'm gonna have to get my hair wet in front of people. Be grateful you have hair, okay? There are worse things. But guys, when you grow in a relationship, you are willing to do other things that are not normal or comfortable for you. And your sincerity to God, part of that is to follow through on baptism. Maybe you need to do that. You need to speak with one of the pastors. You need to fill out the card and say, somebody talk to me about it. I want to understand it more. They'll be in contact with you. Maybe you need to join a church and say, in my walk with God, I want to begin to serve. And I know some of you would say, the normal thing in our life. I'm just so busy. We're in the Lent season. I taught last Monday night a beginning understanding of what Lent means. And we talked about fasting and trying to just break it down and make it simple. Fasting, real simply, is when you take your schedule and you carve things out of it so that you can work on your relationship with God. Fasting is when you give up something out of your schedule so that you can work on your relationship with God. In order to serve God, I can guarantee you, you will have to not do something else. But that's what a commitment is. That's what sincerity is. That's what putting away the idols is. I warned you before we began, this was one of those in-your-face messages. But I will also tell you that Jesus said, when you learn the truth will set you free from a lot of stuff that you don't even realize you're needing to be set free from. For God has a plan for you. Not to live in the desert anymore. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you for the time together with your dear people. And Lord, may these words, oh God, just get me out of the way and you speak to me and to your people. And Father, in all these things, may you receive the glory, may you receive the honor, and may we know the life you desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for letting me be here.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.